From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Comerica Theater in Phoenix, Arizona, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. It is great to be here in Phoenix. We've got Senator Jeff Flake, Republican of Arizona, joining us later to play our game. But first, we wanted to spare a thought for our friends back in Chicago and on the East Coast, buried under yet another miserable winter storm. And that thought is, it's 80 degrees and sunny here, suckers. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. You can't hear me because your power's out, too. So call us to complain or play our games. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Tracy. I'm in East Greenwich, Rhode Island.
Tracy, hello, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
That's great, and I want to ask this question to everybody who calls in today. How miserable is the weather where you are?
It's only moderately miserable here. We've probably got about 5 inches of snow today, and then it turned to rain.
I find that less than satisfying.
I'm sorry.
Well, welcome to the show, Tracy. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, it's comedian and host of The Moth, the last Tuesday of the month at Martyrs in Chicago. Show up. It's Brian Babylon. Hey. Next, it's a writer at the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor. And finally, it's a comedian performing at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon on February 23rd. It's Maz Jobrani.
Hi, Maz.
Hey. How are you?
I'm okay.
So, Tracy, welcome. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to go?
Absolutely.
Let us do it. Your first quote comes from a production insider at NBC's Olympics headquarters in Sochi.
The entire set was cleaned and sanitized.
The studio needed to be sanitized before Matt Lauer came in and took over for whom?
For Bob Costas.
Indeed, yes.
Eye.
Bob Costas. Every 4 years, we turn to the Olympics for drama, and the big drama of the 24 games in Sochi has been, what the heck is wrong with Bob Costas' eye? Was it pink eye? Had he died during the 2012 London games and was finally starting to rot?
They couldn't have done any, like, Hollywood effects or blue screen or type of avatar.
Like, give him a cyborg eye? That would have been
something.
Or they could have spun it better in the marketing department. Oh, the reason his eye is closed is because it's a tribute to the ring that didn't open in the opening ceremonies.
I felt bad. Or you know what? They could have spun it like, you know what? Secretly, Bob Costas' second job is, like, he's a daycare. He works at a daycare. And he's around a whole bunch of, like, you know,
little
toddlers
kids
who have, like, germs and stuff.
You know what?
Go ahead. Now it's so great because he can be the spokesman for Pink Eye. You know, he can do Pink Eye awareness events, to have galas, raise
yes.
money to combat Pink Eye.
He can be to Pink Eye what Katie Couric is to colon cancer.
Exactly.
It always happens like that, though. Remember, like, picture day? Like, that's when the pimple comes right
yep.
there? And this poor guy, four years!
Four
he could have gotten pink eye for 3 years, and it happened this one.
He was in his dressing room for, like, hours. Like, not today. Any day but today.
Meanwhile, back in the slopes, things were not going well for the Americans. We were even getting beat in the sports we invented, like snowboarding and pears figure eating. And things were really tough for the snowboarders. Not only did Shaun White fail to win a third Olympic gold medal, his nickname, the Flying Tomato, was stolen by Bob Costas's eye. Tracy, here is your next quote.
I guess they don't want to ask a 6'3", 260-pound defensive lineman if he was gay.
That was a 6'3", 260-pound defensive lineman who saved us all the trouble of asking and just told us this week that he is gay. Who is it?
Michael Sam?
Michael Sam. Very good. Yes. Michael Sam is a football player from the University of Missouri. He made history this week when he announced he was gay before the NFL draft. All previous gay NFL players announced it at the draft with the traditional French kiss of the commissioner.
But what if in 2014, I don't think they keep saying this is going to be a problem in the locker room. And for my friends who play in the NFL, they don't care about that. It's the people who care are like the Jerry Joneses of the world.
The owners and
the
stuff.
The owners.
Well, they never, you know, they never say it's I have a problem. They say, oh, you know, the players will have a problem. It'll be a distraction, right? That's the problem. It's a distraction. Like, your job, football players, is to throw balls and tackle people. How focused do you need to be? Gee, the ball is coming toward me in the end zone, but I can't stop thinking about what that gay guy does on dates. When they dance,
focus.
When he dances with his date, who leads? I don't know.
What are the gay guys going to try and like romanticize the locker room? Like,
well, that's the other concern. It's like
candles.
Oh, well, supposedly the players are like, I don't like being naked in a room with a gay man. What if he's attracted to me, dude? You're a 350-pound defensive lineman with a broken nose and back knee. I don't think you have anything to worry about. Okay?
You're good. But, hold on. That could be someone's type, though. Let's not even, hold on. You could be into the big back knee dudes. That could be your thing. BigBackKnee.com is some type of website.
You know.
And if it's not, you should get it.
Yeah.
Here is your last quote.
On the good ship Lollipop, it's a sweet trip to the candy shop.
Those words are from a song stuck in everyone's head this week in honor of whom?
Shirley Temple Black.
Yes, indeed. Shirley Temple Black. America's first child star and also America's last child star to grow up without going insane. Died this week at the age of 85. Her genius, Shirley Temple's, was knowing when to quit. Just after she stopped being cute and just before she got into cocaine, guns, and nude selfies.
And can I say the thing that's magical about the Shirley Temple? People don't remember this like me. She kept this nation together during the Great Depression.
You know? Remember this, Brian.
Peter.
You're older than you look. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not all vampires are shimmery and in high school, okay? Sometimes they're hipster middle-aged black men. So, but no, I mean, I just think about today. What kid star could keep a nation together? Like, I doubt... Like, you know, the Miley Cyruses could do it.
I find that whole idea a little difficult to understand. It's like a nation is starving, 25% unemployment.
And Shirley Temple keeps us together.
And right, people are like, well, that's terrible. I have nothing to eat. But that small, curly-haired child tap dances well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think, though, like, I think Barack Obama needs to sort of bottle what Shirley Temple had and help his approval rating.
Really?
Like, he needs to go on a Shirley Temple, like, musical tour where he, like, morphs her songs and things to help him out. He's like, animal crackers in my soup. Obama website goes loop-de-loop. And then he, like, says...
Bring the country together.
Country together, yeah.
That's awesome.
You don't sound convinced.
No. I'm thinking a bottle of Shirley Temple Black or a bottle of Johnny Walker Black, and I'm thinking...
I'll take that one.
Yeah. Carl, how did Tracy do in our quiz?
Tracy, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine or voicemail.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Tracy.
Thank you very much.
We want to remind everyone they can join us most weeks back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Brian, some good news for people suffering through the storm in the East Coast this weekend. The snow provided the perfect excuse for people who forgot what?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, anytime you go to your girlfriend and she's like, hello, do you know what today is? A snowstorm. I would say it's Valentine's
Day. It's Valentine's Day,
yeah.
Yes. Florists across the Northeast reported that the massive winter storm might delay Valentine's Day flower shipments. 100% of boyfriends and husbands absolutely ordered a bouquet weeks ago, according to a survey of boyfriends and husbands.
Yeah, you know, that's where you... I heard someone said that giving flowers is so 90s or whatever. You're supposed to send those edible arrangements.
No.
Those fruit things that are the worst ever. And
no.
they're always ripe when you
get them. That's like the strawberries with a stick
strawberry
in it?
Strawberry, the stick, the mango, whatever. That's not love.
No, that's not.
Carrie, what is love then?
Flowers.
Really?
Yes.
Flowers?
You guys know what I found at this grocery store? It was amazing. I found that they have pre-plucked rose petals that you can buy. Someone's plucked rose petals you can buy already that you can sprinkle on somebody's... Like, you know, if you want to do like a Hansel and Gretel, like, rose petal trail to somewhere for some hanky-panky, they already done that. That's the future we live in. Someone has plucked the rose petals and put them in a container for you.
That person was a genius.
Yes.
But the problem with buying that is now you got to come up with something at the end of the rose petals.
Right.
Yes.
Because it's nice, and then what are you? You're going to be sitting there in your underwear waiting for her? She's going to walk right back.
Yep. No,
like, get out of here.
No. You know some guys... Some guys are going to buy a little package of rose petals, and their girlfriends are going to say, "What the heck is this?" And he's going to say, "Oh yeah, I was going to get roses, but I just bought you the kit because it's cheaper." Well, you disassemble it yourself. Here, I got my soldering iron. Let's do it.
But this year it falls on President's Weekend too, so you can just buy her some bed sheets and do kill two birds. You know, like you know they have bed sheets sales.
And tires, for that matter.
Yeah, you could do whatever President's Day. You just combine the two.
Whatever they got going at Costco, do it.
You don't bring me flowers. You don't sing me love songs.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Kerry O'Connor, Maz Jobrani, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at the Comerica Theater in Phoenix, Arizona, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. All of you. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent.
All right, then. Who is this?
This is Matt from Watertown, Massachusetts.
Hey, Watertown. I know Watertown. Fine place. Fine town outside of Boston. What do you do there?
I am the computer guy for the MIT police in Cambridge, Mass.
I understand. So you're running their IT. And how do you enjoy yourself? Because I know IT guys have rich, full lives in general.
Oh, yeah. We're bundles of joy and excitement.
Yeah.
I knit, and I'm an amateur astronomer.
You knit?
Yeah.
I know.
What is the law? Have you ever knitted a sweater?
I haven't gotten beyond scarves and misshapen lumps.
All right. That's where everybody starts. Well, Matt, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Matt's topic?
Go fish. Go.
Turns out living on land does not keep us safe from the dangers of the deep. This week, we read a story about a fish causing problems for humans. Our panelists are going to ask you about it. Guess the real story. You'll win Carl Castle's voice on your very own voicemail, or if you have one, an answering machine. We're old school. You ready to play?
Oh, yes, sir.
First, let's hear from Brian Babylon.
Noodling, also known as grabbling, hogging, graveling, or catdattling, is the art of fishing by sticking your bare arm down a catfish hole. And then the catfish bites down on your hand, and then you just caught a fish. But that's not all. The town of Blessa, South Carolina, known for its annual Noodling Days Festival at Torrey Mois Lake, recently was struck by a rare outbreak of the disease mono, typically associated with high school kissers. But this form of mono is also known as catfish mono. The Noodling King, Chaz Brundick, says he was noticing something was wrong on the third day of the festival. Quote, "Folks' arms kept falling asleep as they were swollen and puffy. When they looked at the fish, they didn't look so good as well. The fish are denying that they kissed any other weird fish. The noodlers just want to go back to the good old days when they can just stick their hands down their throat of a live, wriggling fish without it getting weird." Yes.
Noodling. For catfish. Giving people mono. Your next story of fish terrorizing landlubbers comes from Maz Jobrani.
Just when you thought it was safe to pump some gas, along comes the shark bandit. This sharp-toothed robber has been victimizing gas stations in and around the Seattle area for weeks. Disguised as a shark, this suspect approaches gas station attendants and robs them at teeth point. His sidekick is a mermaid. Ahmad Abdullah Rahim of the Main Street Shell Station was quoted as saying, "I look outside and I think, why is there a shark at pump number 8?
Hold on, Maz. I just want to interrupt. Could you tell the listening audience where you're from originally?
I'm from Iran.
Thank you. Go on.
But that's a Jordanian accent, so Jordanians, write in. Then I look again and I see there is also a mermaid. Before I know it, they're inside. The shark tells me to give him all my money and some beef jerky or he will bite me. I tell him, I bite you. Then the mermaid pulls out a gun from behind her seashells. So she wins. Their getaways have been a bit slow given the mermaid's difficulty in running with a tail. Abdullah Rahim explains, after I give them the money, I see them run for their car. The shark was fast. The mermaid, she just waddles. But she looked good. Police are still searching.
The shark bandit wreaking terror at gas stations. Your last story of a battle between men and fish comes from Kiri O'Connor.
Reuben Madsen is like the guy in the Hurt Locker, except instead of disarming bombs, he disarms cans of old rotten fish. Madsen, who lives in Sweden, is headed to the Norwegian woods, isn't it good, to bust open a bulging 25-year-old can of surströmming, or fermented herring, found in the eaves of a cabin. Hundreds of bored Norwegians are expected to descend on the can opening to watch and smell. Swedes love the stinky surströmming. They even have fermented herring parties, which is what you do when you see the sun for 1 hour a day.
All right. So one of these stories is about fish in the news from Brian Babylon, how noodling in one town in South Carolina is giving people mono when the catfish not only bite their hands but give them a disease. From Maz Jobrani, a guy dressed as a shark with an accomplice dressed as a mermaid robbing gas stations and convenience stores. And from Kiri O'Connor, how a can of fermented herring is threatening a cabin in the Norwegian woods. Isn't it good? Which of these is the real story of a dangerous fish in the news?
Wow. Well, being a Swede and having eaten lutefisk, I'll go with the Swedish can of disgusting fish explosion.
You're going to the Swedish can of disgusting fish explosion, which, by the way, would be a fine name for a band. All right, well, we actually spoke to somebody who's trying to handle this serious problem.
I will take the tin can very carefully and move it to a safe place. If it still is fish inside, I will, of course, taste it.
That was Reuben Madsen, the self-proclaimed king of fermented herring, the man tasked with disarming the fish bomb in the cabin in the Norwegian woods. Congratulations, Matt. You've got it right. You're the point for Kiri O'Connor. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your very own voicemail. Thank you so much for playing with us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much. And now the game where we talk to important people about trivial things, it's called Not My Job. There are a lot of things that most people don't know about the state of Arizona. For example, did you know that it has a second United States senator? Sure, one senator gets on all the Sunday talk shows and runs for president every other year, but it turns out, just like every other state, Arizona has two senators. Senator Jeff Flake of the great state of Arizona. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you for having me on.
I have to say, I was worried that you wouldn't be here by the time we got to this point of the show.
So was I.
Yeah.
But I figure if an NFL player can come out as gay, a Republican senator can come out as an NPR listener.
Nice. But what about in the locker room? We're not going to feel comfortable.
Yeah, no, man. I just want to say, I don't feel comfortable undressing with a Republican, so. I joke.
What goes on in the cloakroom stays.
Yeah, okay. So let's just establish your credentials. You are from Snowflake, Arizona, I've been told, right?
That is true.
Right. And it's Jeff Flake from Snowflake.
If you can believe it or not, I grew up not knowing that flake was a term of disparagement.
Really?
It was a safe haven for flakes.
Really? So you didn't know. When did someone call you a flake and you realized they were trying to insult you?
You know, the truth is, after college, I went to Washington, D.C. for an internship, and I was at a reception, and it came up in conversation with someone that I was from Snowflake. He didn't know my name was Flake. This guy knew somebody from Snowflake. He just couldn't pull up the name. So he struggled for a while, and I thought, I'll narrow it down for him. I said, was this guy a flake? It's an innocent question. He said, nah, he seemed perfectly normal to me. It was then that I knew I'm in for a long life.
I understand. You've had a long political career because, of course, you represented Arizona in the Congress
right.
before being elected to the Senate. Has the name ever been, has it been ever used as an attack ad, for example, by an opponent?
Well, my first campaign theme was simply another flake for Congress that
really?
Seemed appropriate. But
so you
as
sort of co-opted the humor.
Well, you know, in Arizona, believe it or not, I mean, there are a lot of flakes. I have, in fact, we have 5 children. I am one of 11. I have 10 siblings. I have 69 first cousins on my father's side alone.
Good
wow.
Lord.
So when they say that Congress's popularity is down to blood relatives, I'm going to ride that popularity wave for a long time.
and you know what they say? They say, no two flakes are alike.
That's true. Yeah. So you're the junior senator from Arizona. Remind me, who's the senior senator? I can't quite think of him.
John somebody.
John somebody. he gets a lot of press, John McCain. He appeared in this show, of course, many years ago, and he's always on the Sunday shows. He's always in the news. Do you ever feel a little jealous that everybody's, like, always running over to talk to him?
Bugs the heck out of me.
Really, does it?
No, it comes with the territory. Right. I feel honored to serve with him. And
yeah.
He's been there a while and done a lot of good things, and... It's good to be where I am.
It's funny because the official term is junior senator.
That's right.
Right. So does that mean that you have to, like, bring the snacks to the cloakroom or the rookie hazings or something like that?
Sure. So that's just, every junior senator is just one step away from their lifelong dream being senior senator.
Right.
John's not one to take a hint, though.
No. Now, the one thing you like to do, Senator, is you like to go to remote desert islands and try to survive. Is that right?
I do.
Yeah.
like Castaway?
Pretty much. Could you describe one of these expeditions? You've done this a number of times now, right?
A couple of times. 5 years ago, I went by myself. I like to read adventure books, and especially Sailing Adventures Gone Bad. That's my favorite genre. And
wow.
I always wonder if I could survive, if I was marooned on an island, you know, without... anything but the necessities, and so I marooned myself on an island in the Marshall Islands and just took a spear and a magnifying glass to start fires and a
what
mask.
What kind of 1%er games are you playing?
So I want to... This is true, by the way. This is reported in a reputable newspaper. So what you did was you had yourself dropped off on this island. You brought no food. You brought a magnifying glass, as you said, to start fires,
right.
A spear...
Yeah.
A spear.
To spear fish.
Of course, fish.
Yeah.
As one does.
As one does. And what else? Did you have a sexy loincloth? What did you have?
No. I had a camera. I did take a tripod, and so I wanted to document this.
Right.
And spear a fish. I'd, do a selfie with a fish. And...
And he had a volleyball named Wilson.
I didn't, but that was what most people gravitate to as far as following this is I didn't have a volleyball. But by about the third day, I was a little bored, let's face it. And I was given a Sharpie pen before I left. These hermit crabs would wander through my camp endlessly.
Yeah.
And so by about the third day, I found that Sharpie pen, and I picked up a hermit crab and wrote number one on his shell and put him down and just to see if he would reoccur.
Yeah.
And number two a little later. And by the end of the week, I had 126 numbered.
And people say senators never accomplish anything. So you were just...
I still miss number 72.
I mean, he was cute.
How come we don't have a show yet called Senate Survivor?
Yeah.
Well, I have been asked that. People say, well, why don't you just go on that show, Survivor? Yeah. I say, I go through enough elections. I don't want to be voted off an island. I want to actually survive.
Did you learn anything in your experience, in your week of privation and survival and isolation on an island, that helps you in your current career in the U.S. Senate?
Well, you know, there's the old poem, then song, No Man is an Island, and there is truth to that. One thing that I really came back with is the knowledge that there is a heck of a lot of beauty out there. We have a gorgeous earth here, and so much of it happens every sunset that I watch, 7 of the most beautiful sunsets in the world. And were I not there to see it, they would have still occurred. And there's so much that is great that we just miss completely. When I got back, I tried to share these things, but it's meaningless unless you can share it with somebody.
You sure you're not a Democrat?
Yeah, Republicans don't talk like this. What's going on?
Well, Senator Flake, we are delighted to have you with us, and we've asked you here today to play a game. This time we're calling...
Dude, that skijoring was sick.
As we enjoy the classic winter sports of slopestyle, halfpipe, and the thing with the skiing and the shooting at the Winter Olympics in Sochi, let us remember that not all popular winter sports make it to the Olympics. We're going to ask you 3 questions about non-Olympic winter sports, which I'm sure you're up on, being from Arizona. Get 2 right, you will win Carl's voice on your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I'll do my best.
All right. Carl, who is Senator Flake of Arizona playing for?
The senator is playing for Cassidy Welch of Phoenix.
Not just a contestant, a potential vote.
It's a vote.
To vote.
Oh, man.
Your first sport is skijoring, which was played in the 1928 Winter Games. It's described by the Atlantic magazine as what? A, like figure skating, but with stabbing. B, like water skiing behind a dog. Or C, an unfortunate mix of striptease and ski jump.
What was that first one again?
The first one was like figure skating, but with stabbing.
I'm going with that.
All right. I think that would be a wonderful thing to see, but it was really water skiing behind a dog. That's how it was described. The way it works is you put on some skis, you take some dogs, you put some, you know, leads on the dogs, you attach the leads to your chest, and then you throw some kibble out as far as you can ahead of the dogs, and you take off with the dogs. You're good to go. No longer a sport, sadly. But you have 2 more chances, so you can still win. Here we go. Okay, a sport called acro ski was tried out as a demonstration sport at the 88 and 92 games, never made the official Olympics. What is acro ski? A, competitive snow angel making. B, nicknamed the uphill slalom, competitors ride adjacent ski lifts, first one to the top wins. Or C, also known as ski ballet, it's artistic skiing on a gentle slope with costumes.
We're going with C.
You're right. They're right.
There we go.
It's known as ski ballet. Many experts say it didn't make the official Olympic program because of its extreme boringness. Okay, here is your last question. One sport that takes summer fun to the mountains has never gotten its Olympic due despite a growing fan base. What is it? A, snow kayaking, in which competitors paddle their way down slopes in a kayak. B, winter triathlon, which is a combination of biking, running, and hypothermia. Or C, snow skitball, which is just what it sounds like.
I'm going with the audience. A.
You're going to say, you're going to go with your constituents, exercise their will.
I always go with
and
my snake constituents.
And snake kayaking. It is, in fact, snow kayaking. Very good, everybody. You can see videos of it. They use the paddle to steer down the slope. Carl, how did Senator Flake do on our quiz?
The senator had 2 correct answers, Peter, so he wins for Cassidy Welch.
Well done. Just want 1 more vote. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Jeff Flake is the junior senator from Arizona.
Thank you
so much for being here, Senator Flake. A real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much. Your senator, ladies and gentlemen.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Maz Jobrani, Brian Babylon, and Kerry O'Connor. And here again is your host at the Comerica Theater in Phoenix, Arizona, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. In just a minute, Carl reports for spring training with the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Brian, you've heard of facial recognition software and thumbprint scanners. Well, researchers in Spain have developed a new kind of software that will ID you by your what?
The Spaniards came up with this?
Don't obsess about the Spaniards.
All right, give me a slight hint, and I guarantee you I'll get it.
Well, criminals and terrorists will try to avoid this technician by bathing frequently.
Oh, I've already body odor.
Yes, Sense. Indeed, your body odor. People are like not excited. Researchers in Spain believe we'll soon be identified by our body odor. Apparently, our BO is consistent approximately 85% of the time, meaning it's almost as unique to us as our fingerprints. Soon, we'll gain access to secured areas just by standing next to a sensor in an elevator on a hot day.
So what do you got to, like, walk up and lift your underarm and just...
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I'm going to give you another quick Brian Babylon tip. I've been known for giving these on this program. What gets rid of all BO smells is Febreze and Drakkar Noir.
Okay. Explain to me how you apply these and in what situations.
What do you mean? You just spray them both on you at the same time.
You're telling me that you get up in the morning and to keep yourself from smelling unpleasantly, you spray yourself with Febreze.
And Drakkar Noir.
And then Drakkar Noir.
Those two things combined make a whole new scent. It doesn't smell like Drakkar. It doesn't smell like Febreze. It's this old new thing.
It's like Febreze Noir.
Mm-hmm.
What does it smell like?
Optimism.
Hope.
A whole new day. Success.
Yeah. Kerry, the Georgia Department of Transportation this week received a petition asking for a roadside memorial in honor of what?
Let me see. It's Georgia, and it's roadside, so something died.
Yes, this is one of these memorials, but this time it's in honor of what?
Does it have feathers?
Yes, it does.
Is it something like a duck?
Much like a duck, but not quite.
Not quite like a duck.
Well, I'll give you a hint. We may not know why he crossed the road, but we do know.
He paid
the ultimate price. Yes, chickens,
in fact.
People for the ethical treatment of animals, a group dedicated to making animals more equal to humans by making us all dumber, filed the petition after a truck hauling chickens crashed at that spot. And while the accident was unfortunate for the chickens, let's face it, they were in a truck headed for a slaughterhouse. They were going to die anyway.
Man, that's...
The real tragedy here is that no one got to fry and eat them afterwards.
The ethical... I mean, it's good. It's good to go and do the ethical treatment, but these people...
They're going too far.
Yeah, come on. And we're going to do a memorial for chickens?
Not to mention, like, what do they want to do? They want to build a statue of a chicken on the side of the road. You see a statue of a chicken as you're driving down the road, what do you want to do?
I want to eat
Stop and eat a chicken. People are going to go up to the statue of the chicken. They're going to start shouting their order into the chicken.
I don't think you people spend enough time with chickens.
You do.
I do. I spend a lot of time with chickens.
Now, do they have good personalities?
They do. Some of them have good. Some have terrible personalities.
Is that how you decide who you're going to eat?
You with all that attitude?
I don't eat any of them. They're my friends.
Do you eat chicken that you don't know?
Yes.
Kerry, if you watch any news channel, you've seen a bold breaking news banner at least 3 times an hour. Readers in the UK experienced that same thrill this week when a breaking news story from Wales reported that a woman had done what?
Oh, dear. Wales. Well, it could have something to do with coal mining or singing.
No.
No. No. Richard Burton?
No.
No.
It's unclear if the woman in question knitted it herself all those years ago.
Breaking news about something that a woman knitted or possibly didn't.
Yes, but definitely had. She had acquired it somehow. What sort of things do you knit?
You knit a sweater?
Yes! A sweater, they reported, and it's a breaking news item, that a woman had worn the same cardigan for 54 years.
Like
I know,
in
you
a,
don't
in
believe
a row?
It.
In a row?
The South Wales Evening Post sent out a breaking news tweet. Woman wears same fantastic-looking cardigan for 54 years. So in case you were wondering why NBC cut away from the Olympics to follow an old woman in Swansea, now you know. The original story went on to note that the sweater, quote, has never lost a button, is lovely, and is, quote, cozy and warm, although that remains unconfirmed at this time.
You know what? This goes to show they don't make stuff the way they used to. In this age of just sweatshops and Walmart
stuff,
man.
So you're impressed by this, Brian? You think this is a breaking news story?
No, I'm trying to do a positive spin because that's how people turn into Yetis, man. Like, the sweater starts, you know, like, grafting on your body and then grows and then you turn into a Yeti, yo.
But she took it off. I mean, she wasn't sleeping in it.
Reading the story closely, she did not wear the sweater consistently for 54 years. She had it and occasionally wore it for 54 years.
Oh.
So who's this reporter and why are they a reporter?
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show on March 20th in Kalamazoo. And be sure to check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, we tell you the secret to feeling better about the terrible weather. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi. This is Beth Top.
Hey, Beth, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Plainfield, New Hampshire.
Oh, tell me how the weather is there.
Oh, very snowy.
How snowy is it?
I would say it's been snowing for about 12 or 13 hours.
I see.
But it's a pretty nice, fluffy snow.
So. Oh, I'm sure it is.
It's fun.
Welcome to the show, Beth. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly and two of the limericks, you're a winner. Are you ready to play?
I am ready.
Here is your first limerick.
We gators catch prey every time, and not just in mud and in slime. Thanks to Darwin's advances, we hide up in branches. We gators have learned how to...
climb.
Yes, indeed, climb. Well done. Bad news, a study published in the current issue of the journal Herpetology Notes claims certain kinds of gators and crocodiles can climb trees, including the type of alligator that is perched above you right now, licking his lips.
So is that like evolution stuff we're seeing?
I think evolution would only apply in this case if the alligators that were climbing the trees had an advantage over the alligators that couldn't. Right?
Yeah, they do have an advantage.
Climb trees.
I'm in a tree, bro. I can eat more things. I can jump on someone's head.
Fine. Can you imagine what the last thought of, say, a bird before it's eaten by an alligator in its tree must be, you have got to be kidding me.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about that first alligator that realized they had climbed a tree. Like, what? What's going on here? Oh my God. I'm in a tree. I'm in a tree. I'm in a tree. That would be great. That first alligator, he's winning.
He sounds like the Spider-Man of alligators.
Like, he got bit by a radioactive alligator.
Exactly. And then... They should have, I mean, we have Spider-Man. We should have Alligator Man now. That would be... That's a good... He climbs up trees, you know, and I don't know what he does there, but...
Here is your next limerick.
I collect my koala bear's muck. Now on tests, my poor brain won't get stuck. With help from my buddy, I won't have to study. I'll just take his poop for good.
Luck?
Yeah!
Yes.
Japanese students have a new good luck charm, koala poop. Here's their reasoning. Koalas can hang onto trees for 20 hours without falling, so students believe the poop of koalas will transfer some of that resilience when they're studying for exams. It may be crazy, it may not be. One thing is certain, you do not want to eat Japanese Lucky Charms cereal. Here is your last limerick.
Though blockbuster summers are legendary, this month's fair appears rather sedentary. I prefer a gum cleaning to what they are screening. All movies are bad now in...
I'll give you a hint. It's
theaters.
No, in theaters. No, I'll give you a hint. It's sort of, it rhymes sort of with legendary, sedentary, rhymes with...
February.
February, yes. The month of February has it all. Valentine's Day, an extra R, and terrible, terrible movies. A study of Rotten Tomatoes rankings by Slate found that year after year, the worst movies come out in February, showing what Hollywood thinks of Black History Month.
Well, you know, yeah, and heads up, you know what, heads up, I'm moving Black History Month to August.
You
That's
are?
What I tell you guys.
Why are you doing that, Brian?
So you can go outside and do stuff.
Why did they choose February in the first place?
I think Carter G. Woodson just made a big mistake.
You think who?
I think it's Carter G. Woodson giving you guys a Black History fact.
G. Woodson.
Another Black History fact, you ready for this? Al Sharpton looks like Black Einstein.
Is that a Black History fact?
But let's get back to these movies in February. This is a proven case because that Kevin Hart Ice Cube movie was number one 3 weeks in a row.
See what I mean?
That's why I was pitching Crocodile Man. That's what
Crocodile Man, number one.
Carl, how did Beth do in our quiz?
She was 3 for 3, Peter, so she is a winner.
Well done.
Yay.
Congratulations, Beth.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thanks for playing. Now on to the final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Kerry O'Connor has the lead with 4 points. Brian Babylon and Maz Jobrani are tied for second. Each has 2.
Okay. We have flipped a coin. Maz has elected to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill-in-the-blank. The House voted on Tuesday to approve a clean extension of the blank.
Debt limit.
Right, death ceiling on Tuesday. Attorney General Eric Holder called for a repeal of laws that prevent convicted felons from blanking.
Voting?
Right. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul filed a lawsuit Wednesday over the surveillance practices of the blank.
NSA.
Right. For the first time since their split in 1949, this week the governments of Taiwan and blank held official talks.
China.
Right. According to a recent discovery, raindrops aren't shaped like tears. They're shaped like blank.
Dimes.
They're shaped like hamburger buns.
Of course.
Although he announced this week that he had been diagnosed with cancer, former news anchor Blank says he is optimistic.
Tom Brokaw.
Right. Because of a software problem that could cause cars to suddenly shut down, Blank is recalling 2.1 million vehicles worldwide.
Toyota.
Right. A Delta flight to Salt Lake City last Friday had to make an emergency landing in Minneapolis after a passenger on board would not stop blanking.
Twerking.
No, she would not stop hitting on another passenger. They say persistence is a virtue, but apparently not when it comes to propositioning the guy in 21B. The woman's refusal to stop making advances got her kicked off the plane, but proved once and for all there is something worse than being seated next to that lady who really wants to tell you about her grandkids. Carl, how did Maz do in our quiz?
Maz had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Maz has taken the lead.
All right, so this means, Brian, you're up next.
Yep.
Fill in the blank. This week, Comcast proposed a $45.2 billion deal to take over rival cable company blank.
Time Warner.
Right. The governor in Washington State said Tuesday that he is issuing a moratorium on the blank while he's in office.
The weed?
No. He would be in trouble on the death penalty.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, a sinkhole opened up in Kentucky, swallowing 8 cars in the National Blank Museum.
Corvette.
Right. A man in Britain called local government officials to complain that he was being blanked.
Eaten?
Harassed by a frog. Best known for hosting your show of shows, comedian Blank died this week at age 91.
Sid Caesar.
You bet. Saying it was a security risk, officials at Heathrow confiscated a 6-shooter from Blank.
A sex shooter?
A 6-shooter, Brian.
Why not? Roy Rogers.
No, they confiscated the 6-shooter from Woody from Toy Story. Sure, he's only about 8 inches tall, and he's a doll, but that cowboy was carrying a gun, a tiny gun, about 1 inch long, but still a gun. If he managed to get that through security, there's no telling what kind of mild, practically unnoticeable damage he might have caused. Carl, how did Brian do in our quiz?
Brian had 3 correct answers for 6 more points. He now has 8 points, but Maz still has the lead with 14.
So here's the math question. How many, then, does Kiri need to win
5 to tie and 6 to win outright.
All right. Here we go, Carrie. This is okay. For the game. On Thursday, meteorologists estimated that almost 60% of the country was covered with blank.
Snow.
Right. On Wednesday, former New Orleans mayor blank was found guilty of 20 counts of bribery and fraud.
Ray Nagin.
Right. Although the U.S. warned that they were a security threat, Hamid Karzai released 65 Taliban detainees being held in blank.
Afghanistan.
Right. On Wednesday, Yankees all-star shortstop blank announced that the 2014 season would be his last.
Derek Jeter.
Right. On the Newark Star-Ledger issued a correction that Chris Christie's spokesperson did not call the head of the Port Authority a, quote, piece of crap. Instead, he called him a blank.
I don't know.
A piece of excrement.
Oh!
Nice. A wire-haired fox terrier named Sky won Best in Show Tuesday at this year's blank.
Westminster.
Kennel Club, a dog show. Yes, Samuel L. Jackson lashed out a reporter who blanked during a television interview this week.
I thought he was Lawrence Fishburne.
Right. Madame Tussauds in New York had to remove their Justin Bieber wax statue because of excessive blanking.
Pawing.
Say again?
Pawing.
Yes, indeed. They removed the Bieber statue because of excessive groping of the statue. The Bieber likeness, which is both anatomically correct and completely free of any genitalia, has aged nearly as badly as Justin Bieber himself. Heat from teenagers copping a feel is causing Bieber's once lithe body to wrinkle and sag, taking the teen star from Miley Cyrus straight to Chorus Leachman. No one knows what happened to the wax figurine, but the gift shop is now mysteriously selling little candles with spiky hair. Carl, did Kiri do well enough to win?
She needed 6 to tie. She had 7 correct answers.
Woo!
So with 14 points, make that 18 points. Kiri O'Connor is this week's champion.
Well done. In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists, now that Bob Costas has been laid low by pink eye, what will take down Matt Lauer? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Kobo, partnering with independent bookstores to provide 4 million ebook titles and a variety of e-readers. Store locator at indiebound.org. The Langeloth Foundation, supporting innovative health and mental health programs for underserved populations at langeloth.org. And the Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems at skoll.org. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord, Philip Goedeker, writes there, Limerick, the house manager is Don Hall, our assistant house manager is Tyler Green, our intern is Seth, supporting actress Kelly, our web guru is Beth Novi, and special thanks to the stage crew at the Comerica Theater. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover, Miles Dernboss, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Ann Nian. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian. I'm going to touch that cat, Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will take out Matt Lauer from the host's set? Brian Babylon.
He gets horrible hair plugs that give him bangs.
Oof. Kiri O'Connor.
Ann Curry with a tire iron.
And Maz Giovanni.
Given that the temperature is warm at the Olympics and Matt Lauer is cold as ice, he's just going to melt.
Well, if any of those things happen to Matt Lauer, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Brian Babylon, Kiri O'Connor, Matt Urbana. Thanks to everyone at KJZZ in Phoenix. Thanks to our wonderful audience here at the Comerica Theater in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks to all of you at home for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you back in the cold next week. This is NPR.